So we normally take a break right now, but we do have Dr. Steve Tharp. So I want to go ahead and do this interview. Then we'll take the break. Then we'll come back with Jamie Blacker. So let's say good morning to Dr. Steve Tharp.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very good today. Thank you for calling in this morning.
Sure. Just wanted to call in and remind everybody to stay vigilant. Of course, things have been going reasonably well, so we want to keep that up and be careful and remind everyone that masks are definitely the key to keeping us in the clear.
Dr. Tharp, could you speak up just a little bit? We're having just kind of an issue a little bit with your audio there, pretty low this morning. All right.
Is this better?
Yes, a little better. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. And so, again, you know, I just want to remind people that the most effective thing we have right now are wearing masks. I know you're talking about vaccine, but that's something to come in the future. And right now, keeping our hand hygiene and keeping the masks in place is really the key to staying healthy for the whole community.
Dr. Tharp, what about that study that came out, or not study, but some updated numbers from the CDC over the weekend that talked about 6% of the people who died from coronavirus died exclusively from that? Does that change your mind any on thinking?
No, not really. That's a point that they could find nothing else besides the coronavirus that those people expired from. But actually, you know, the coronavirus is the catalyst that started the cascade. And so, really, that's kind of a false narrative to look at it as only 6%. All of those people had coronavirus. And the vast majority of them would still be around if that coronavirus hadn't come along and weakened them and caused other issues to occur. So, you know, you have to really understand that the way we report things in death certificates is we are supposed to say what was the final thing that happened and what was it due to, and it was due to this, which was due to this. And so even though coronavirus may be, you know, a secondary diagnosis, ultimately that's where it came from.
Steve, what about come this winter when we have cold and flu seasons out there? How are we going to know what to do and what not to do, because everything seems to be so similar with those two plus the coronavirus?
Well, first of all, I'd point out that our treatments are very similar. So really, we want to do the same sort of thing. If you get the flu, you don't want to spread it. You want to stay home and get over it. If it gets bad enough that you're having trouble breathing or having other problems, then you need to go to the emergency room or the hospital to find out if you need to be in the hospital. Every year we have somewhere around 20,000 people in the United States who die from influenza. And so, you know, it's a very similar thing, except for the coronavirus appears to be much more serious. So actually, whether you've got one or the other, we'll sort that out when you get to the hospital and start looking into things. But, you know, if you're sick, you need to go. And if you're getting along okay, then you need to contact your doctor, let them know what's happening, and, you know, take care of yourself at home until you can't. And so because of that, you know, we're doing the same thing. I don't think you have to make a big distinction about what do I have and how might this be, you know, what do I need to do, because what you need to do is pretty much the same thing. And we're concerned that people may start getting both of them together and that this could be a problem. But we won't really know what happens with that until we've had more experience with it.
You said earlier that the vaccine was in the future. How far into the future are you expecting it?
Well, you know, there are vaccines that have been produced, and are now in the testing phase. The question is, how safe should a vaccine be before we release it to the public in general? I don't see that there is a reason to rush this faster than what is the usual considered safe thing to do. Remember, the vaccine is for people who are well. So anybody that we make sick with a vaccine that has effects that we were not expecting, would be something that we didn't have to do. I do think that they need to take their time. That said, we should be able to start using a vaccine soon after the beginning of the year based on the progress that's been made so far. But we still need to be sure that it's safe. I think that we can, accept a little bit of early use of the vaccine from the standpoint of, is it effective? Because as long as it's safe, you haven't lost anything if it's not as effective as you would hope. We do have to make sure it's safe. And I think that's going to take a little longer than the earliest estimates.
Quick question for you, Doctor. Thank you. When the vaccines do arrive, where would someone go to get those?
I don't know for sure, but I suspect that they will be distributed primarily to pharmacies, and the pharmacies will be able to give them much as they do the flu vaccine. We will probably have an opportunity to get some through local health departments, but the infrastructure for giving a lot of vaccine is a lot easier to deal with through pharmacies that are already doing the same thing with influenza and some other vaccines.
So it would probably be through local, like CVS, something like that, is where you would...
That's what I'm expecting.
Sure.
We'll see what they say.
But we wouldn't see anything like some sort of, almost like how they've had COVID tests set up, like at a high school or a place where you can come in and get tested and do a drive-through. We wouldn't see some kind of like mass thing like that where people could just come through and get the vaccine and go?
Yeah, I think we might.
Okay.
It'll depend on the availability. As I said, I think that the pharmacy distribution will be a big part of it. And then to the extent that we're able to get vaccine, we probably will have some vaccine clinics that will be stood up for that. But I foresee the demand to be a long-term event that we need that permanent infrastructure to really handle.
One last question. In your research of all the trials that are out there and the vaccines that are being worked on, is there one that stands out to you that seems to be doing better than the others, or what do you gauge from this?
Honestly, I have to say that all of the vaccines have shown promise and seem to be doing okay. As you may be aware, a lot of the vaccines are being produced in a manner that we have never utilized before. So there's a lot of questions about, how effective they're going to be and what's going to happen with them. But what we've seen seems to be very good. So I don't know that there's any particular standout brand or anything. I think that, obviously, as anything in this kind of situation, the first ones that get to market are probably going to be the most utilized, and so they're probably more at least as interested, if not more interested, in how thin they can get it out as we are.
Fabulous. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, doctor. Thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate it, and thank you.
All right. We'll look forward to the next time we talk with you. We'll take a break now. Come right back with Jamie Blacker. He's on line one next on Wylo's Party Line.